You see, love is a verb, folks. It's not a noun. It's a verb, which denotes action, right? Love is action. Love, we just can't say we love somebody. We need to show them that we love them. I can tell Pat I love her all I want, but unless I show her my love in real, tangible ways, it doesn't mean as much. Words are cheap. We have to show our love, and God has done that with us. How has God shown us his love? All you got to do is look at the cross and see the extent of God's love. God sent his only begotten Son to die for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And that love that God has given us demands our whole hearts, our whole minds, our souls, and our strength. God's treat of love is the number one treat from God. The second treat is that out of that love comes God's forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many today think that God's forgiveness is no big deal. No big deal. Why is that? Because sin has become no big deal in our world. What has happened with sin being talked about in our churches? In our circles. No one talks about sin anymore because we've kind of forgotten what sin looks like, what sin is, because we've watered down sin so much in our culture. In our churches, we don't talk about sin. In some churches, now you go to some churches and you know you've heard about sin. You know, the Methodist Church, I'm afraid we don't talk enough about sin in our world, in our lives. For example, alcoholism is considered a disease. Drug addiction is now a weakness. Adultery is simply doing what comes naturally. The world says criminals are simply victims of their circumstances. Gamblers are just exercising one of their many options. And that immorality is a psychological phenomenon. Folks, we are all guilty of sin. We are all guilty of sin. We are not to underestimate sin in our lives. I'm sure that if you counted all the sins in your life from the day you were born to today, it would be like mine filling an Encyclopedia Britannica. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, there is forgiveness of sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. Sins like lying, jealousy, anger, hatred, envy, pride, arrogance, selfish, lust, greed. I think there's seven of them. There are seven sins. They're called the seven deadly sins. You can derive most of the world's problems, most of our problems, to one of those seven deadly sins. The good news is that by faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross, God has forgiven us our sins. Through Christ's sacrificial love on the cross, all the charges of sin have been dropped against us. We have been declared acquitted. We have been pardoned. We have been set free, claimed not guilty, justified in the eyes of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The bottom line is that God has forgiven us if we have received Christ into our hearts. God has taken all of our sins and separated us from them as far as the east is from the west. God has taken all of our sins, the sins of the whole world, if you can get your mind wrapped around that, taken them out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and dumped them and put them at the bottom of the ocean and put up a no fishing sign. Forgiveness of sin. a wonderful treat from God. The third, the treat of salvation. The treat of salvation. This past week in Bible study, we studied Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. And the one verse that stood out on this in this study Wednesday was this one. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift, and I would in parenthesis put treat, of God, so that no one may boast. Saved from what, you say? What am I saved from? What does salvation mean? What am I saved from? Well, we're saved from our sins so that we can live for the Lord of life and not the Lord of death. We are saved from death and the grave. We are saved that we would have the assurance of eternal life. The moment our heart stops beating, we have the assurance of being with God forever and ever and ever. Death has been conquered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, O grave, is thy victory? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. We have been saved from the bondage to the law. That is, what must I do in order to be made right with God? That there are many people, and even in Paul's day, that, you know, the circumcision thing. You had to be circumcised in order to be a follower of Christ because they were Jewish Christians. And today, people believe that they have to do something in order to be right, made right with God. We have been set free from that bondage, through God's salvation. And all of this came at a price, the death of God's only begotten Son. Finally, I think the best treat of all, everlasting life, eternal life. Paul writes again in 15 of 1 Corinthians 15, for this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Some people say there is no life beyond the grave. I'm sure no one here believes that. Some believe that the resurrection was a hoax, a myth, a legend, a fairy tale, if you will. We believe as 1 Corinthian Christians that we are immortal beings. That, yes, this body will decay. This body will betray us and fall apart and eventually die. But our spirit, our soul, goes on to live forever and ever and ever. But not only do we have the promise of eternal life, we also have the promise of standing with that multitude in heaven before the throne of the Lamb of God, praising God with the multitude in the white robes, praising God with palm branches waved, shouting glory to God in the highest forever and ever and ever and ever. But not only that, there's more. Jesus is coming back, folks. Jesus is coming again. And when that trumpet sounds, whether we're dead or alive, it doesn't matter. For the Bible says that even the dead in Christ shall rise with those glorified bodies, shall rise to meet him in the air. And those who are alive at the time will join him in that great getting up morning, as they say in the country church. The dead in Christ shall rise and join the multitude. We shall behold Jesus' face and see him face to face and be with him forever and ever and ever. That's the treat that God gives us as believers, as people of God. These wonderful treats are not only promised to us now or in the hereafter, but in the now. Not just in the hereafter, but in the here. God's love God's forgiveness, God's salvation, God's eternal life. Tonight, you're going to have knocks on your doors. Those little people will be coming around looking for Reese cups and Mounds bars and M&Ms and cookies and all kinds of treats. And I know that you're going to give them what they ask for, lots and lots of treats. And they will gladly accept your treats. Likewise, God is offering us his treats today. It's better than any Snickers bar, I can tell you that right now. God is offering his treats of love, his forgiveness, his salvation, his eternal life. The question is, have you tasted God's treats today? Have you experienced God's love? Have you experienced God's forgiveness? Do you know his salvation? Do you know that you're going to live forever with him? I pray that you do. I pray that everybody here today knows the treats of God. And they know that when their heart stops beating, they immediately go to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. We thank you for reminding us of your wonderful treats, which is really grace. Your amazing, outrageous grace. And we pray, Father, that everyone here today knows your treats. Sure, some of us have experienced the tricks of the devil, but we know he's all about trickery, about lies, about deception and darkness. But Lord, in you, we have nothing but light and love. And I pray, Father, that everybody within the sound of my voice knows your love and your forgiveness, your salvation, and your eternal life. Don't let anyone leave here today, O God, without accepting these treats from you. And I pray, Lord, that right now, as people are pondering these thoughts and these things in their hearts, that they will, right where they're sitting, say, Lord, I want your treats for myself. I want to know you, and I want to love you, and I want to change my life for you. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for it is in your precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.